Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you all here today. Always happy to be on board with you all. We are now entering the month of February. Why am I saying entering as if we didn't just do it earlier this week? Anyway, this year is already going by, isn't it? So, Silk or Joe Show is brought to you by the Main Street Radio Network. So we want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to exist. And without them, there wouldn't be a show. This show is entirely from them. In fact, it started only a mere 10 and a quarter years ago, maybe 10 and a six, somewhere in there. Right under the auspices of the Main Street Radio Network. So again, despite some of their clients disagreeing with the content, some of the management disagreeing with the content, we appreciate that they support us nonetheless in our First Amendment right. At least the company does. Now then, we also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing the show. Main Street Radio Network can be found at mainstreetradionetwork.com, and our show can be found up there as well. We don't have our own independent website. But we do have all of our previous, not all of them. We do have a bunch of previous editions of the show up on mainstreetradionetwork.com if you want to check them out. Also, the Al and Nathan show is up there if you want to go check them out as well. Sometimes I guest host earlier this week, as a matter of fact. I guest host for that back on Tuesday. So if you want to go listen to that, you're more than welcome. Or just listen to any other edition of the show. They're all so good. And we're on social media under, of course, we post under Main Street Radio Network's pages on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook, Main Street Radio Network, Twitter at Main Street Radio. We do that just because, you know, they need content on their pages. Come on, you know, you don't want to just hear about their advertising. You want to see other stuff to draw in views to your pages. Sort of smorgasbord of stuff to attract different viewers to their pages and get some audiences for our shows, right? But we also have our own social media account on Getter, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show. And we still post under Main Street Radio Network's Wimkin page, WIMKIN at Silk or Joe Show, or at Main Street Radio Network. Sorry. But now, moving on, we have a guest waiting for us. Now that I'm through with all the lengthy introductions to this program and are touting our social media prowess, we have George Carneal. He is frequent speaker at church conferences and has appeared on outlets such as the Christian Television Network, Janet Mefford Live, and WorldNet Daily. He's also author of From Queer to Christ, My Journey into the Light. George Carneal, happy to have you on the show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yep, glad to have you. Now, speaking of the Al and Nathan show, I went off on this on Tuesday's show, this topic here. What happened in Montana with the Child Protective Services. Now, basically, this family had a suicidal 14-year-old girl, and they, because of some text message she sent to a friend that she barely knew, the police ended up getting involved, and she ended up in a hospital under observation. While she was under observation, a nursing aide stood in the doorway in order to bypass Montana state law, stood in the doorway saying, hey, you're probably trans, and if you transition, everything will be fine. So during that 24-hour observation period, she decided she was trans. And then from that point on, the parents had no rights to the kid. Child Protective Services got involved, yanked the kid away from them, and began the transition process. Have I missed anything?
I'm sorry. You faded out on that last part.
Oh, have I missed anything?
It's disgusting how it quickly escalated with the child being transferred to another state and then put back into the care of Child Protective Custody, and then eventually sent to the alleged abusive birth mother in Canada. This should be alarming to parents as to the overreach and just how these people have no respect for the parents or even their religious beliefs. It's alarming.
Yeah, and just like they only knew the kid for a 24-hour observation period, and they told them pretty much, you might be trans. And the kid was like, oh, well, maybe that will resolve all the mental health issues I have, even though any competent psychiatrist 10 years ago could have told you, no, your suicidal tendencies probably come from that abusive mother, the feeling of rejection from your biological mother, and also from being bullied by the kids at school. I'm pretty sure all those put together would make one suicidal. But no, the hospital says, well, you must be trans, so we'll profit heavily off your misery by transitioning you.
Exactly. It's a money-making operation. And even when the parents told them to stop calling her by her preferred male name, they even ignored that request. Absolute disrespect and disregard for the parents. I truly hope they sue everyone in the system and reap a lot of money out of it. But sadly, that daughter is going to have suffered, I believe, the trauma of just the last of what she's been through since they transferred her to Wyoming.
Yeah, doing this to someone suicidal is just, it's only going to make the situation worse, especially when it's a false promise of hope. Because this is obviously not, she is obviously not trans. That's not what's going on here. She has every other, all these other issues that are causing her to be suicidal going on. So when they pitch her as transitioning as the solution and it isn't, she's just going to end up killing herself because that's what usually happens.
Correct. And if it was reported and alleged that the birth mother in Canada was abusive and there were things that were documented about that, the fact that the legal system would even take her away from her adopted parents who were Christian, loving, who cared, they agreed to get her some kind of counseling, but they then put her back in custody of an alleged abusive mother, it's infuriating. It's just absolutely infuriating.
Mm-hmm. And part of the reason they might have done that is I read there was some doctor that I guess is near this abusive mother who specializes in rapid trans therapies, you know, because there's several steps involved in doing it. You know, you have the social transition, as they call it, which they already put the daughter through, where, you know, breast binding, which damages your body and all sorts of nasty stuff. And then finally, they have the surgical stuff. Well, this doctor in Canada thinks that surgery should come much faster. This doctor that now is apparently somehow near the mother or connected to the mother in some way.
Yeah, they're not thinking this through, and it's clear that they really don't care about the children with the way that they are handling this. But I also feel like, this is just my personal opinion, it's almost like a middle finger to the Christians and all of those who are opposed to the ideology and to the trans movement and to the sex ed curriculum. I think it's just their way of asserting their authority and just telling parents, and especially Christian parents, your opinions, your thoughts, and what you believe doesn't matter. We know what's best, and we're going to override that, and we're going to damage these children even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the assertion of their dominance. And this is happening in Montana, a supposedly Christian state, a conservative state anyway. So just it shows it can happen anywhere if it's happening out in Montana, and that you have these leeches in any medical community, in any child protective service agency.
Correct. And if they'll go to page 2 of my website, which is George Carneal, C-A-R-N as in Nancy, E-A-L.com, if they'll scroll down to the transgender section, I have a little section in there for the James Younger case. Jeff Younger is the father of this little boy. If people would familiarize themselves with that particular case and what this father has gone through in the Texas court system, and his mother, at least last I heard, fled to California with the two boys, trying to have one of them to transition, because I believe California is a sanctuary state for the transgender children. Parents should be alarmed at what is happening in our in these court systems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just fast-tracking the trans ideology. There's no science behind it, and obviously there's no psychology behind it, as we've seen in this Montana case. It's just, is it purely ideological driven? You know, they complain about Christians and their religious beliefs holding everyone back or whatever, but this trans ideology, it is obvious, as it shows all the earmarks of being a religion, and not even a very good one.
Exactly. I mean, the LGBT community and the propaganda that is purported just by the activists and even the liberal theologians. I spent 25 years in the life. They really messed with my mind. It is like a cult. When you come out, it's almost like you're trying to deprogram yourself from all of these lies. And that's what this trans ideology is. And if the individual struggling with gender dysphoria would have enough common sense to put their feelings aside and listen to the former trans individuals who are detransitioning, listening to the horror stories of the infections, the botched surgeries, the complications, they would rethink this. But no, they're trying to silence those voices, and they're continuing to fast-track these children through this system because it's a money-making operation for the medical community.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, just seeing some of the qualifications for what makes you possibly trans is... it's a total reversal of everything feminists fought for 60, 70 years now. If you show any indications of not conforming to a rigid gender stereotype, they're just going to recommend you transition, put you on hormones right away.
Exactly. And I'm so glad I didn't live in this day and age as a teenager, because I went through gender dysphoria when I was a preteen. I really wanted to be a girl. I really thought it was fixed the problems. But at that time, thank God, nobody was talking about surgeries and cross-sex hormones, because I really would have been adamant that I'm a girl and I need to go through that. But as studies have shown, about 80% of those struggling with gender dysphoria, once they hit 18, 19, 20 years old and get through puberty, they usually transition out of that. And I'm very happy that I'm a man, and I'm so glad that God didn't allow me to live during this day and age. This is really an insidious, the agenda is just terrible, and they are destroying the lives of so many children.
Mm-hmm. You have, on the one hand, it's a money-making enterprise for them, but then on the other hand, it's how they spread their ideology. You know, you steer the kids away from the parents, it puts a wedge between them and the parents, it makes the state and the experts who lost so much authority during COVID look good. You get the final word on this right now. George Carneal, we got about 10 seconds left, so go ahead.
Just everybody fight against the Democratic policy, stop voting Democrat, get on the school boards and fight this agenda.
All right, and listeners, we got more Silver Joe Show after this break, so stick with us.
That's Wine Country by rising country star Hannah Ellis. After 10 years of carving out her own space in Music City, the Kentucky native now introduces her debut album, That Girl, available now. Named by Rolling Stone Country as an artist to watch and a CMT Listen Up artist, Hannah Ellis has appeared on the Grand Ole Opry several times and toured with stars such as Billy Currington, Gavin DeGraw, and Carly Pierce. That Girl reveals a seasoned songwriter embracing her small-town roots, her real-life romance, and her relatable artistic voice. Hannah Ellis told us about the inspiration for the new album.
The heart of country music is storytelling. Life itself is the inspiration behind this record. Whether it's my sister's breakup, my insecurities, or falling in love, I'm just living my life with a pen and a microphone.
That Girl is now available wherever you get music. For more, visit HannahEllisMusic.com.
From debut author Carolina Ixta comes an unforgettable new young adult novel, Shut Up, This Is Serious, tells the story of two Latina girls growing up in East Oakland who face a world full of messy complexities as they try to navigate their high school years. Belen wants the normal teen stuff, to hang out with friends, experience love, or maybe even have a boyfriend. But nothing is normal in her East Oakland community. Her father left her family. She's at risk of not graduating. And Letty, her religious best friend, is pregnant by the boyfriend she hasn't told her parents about. Weighed by a depression she can't seem to shake, Belen sees her other classmates getting ready for college. But what future is there for girls like her? Author Carolina Ixta.
Shut Up, This Is Serious deals with topics such as racism, generational trauma, and teen pregnancies, though it's also about the fierce and intimate uplifting power of friendship and chosen family.
Shut Up, This Is Serious is now available wherever books are sold.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents multiple choice parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give me a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silver Joe Show, everybody. So we are joined now in a much more upbeat segment than the last one by Lord Conrad Black. He is former owner of the Telegraph in England and the Jerusalem Post in Israel, the National Post in Canada, and the Chicago Sun-Times, along with over 150 other daily newspapers across the U.S., Canada, and Australia. He is and has been friends with Presidents Nixon, Reagan, Trump, Prime Ministers, Margaret Thatcher in particular, and many of the heads of Europe. And his latest project, which he seems to be in a very good position to write, is called The Political and Strategic History of the World, Volume 1. Lord Black, happy to have you on the show. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. And thank you for inviting me on.
Oh, glad to have you, sir. So this, the Political Strategic History of the World, it's volume one. So where are you starting at with this?
I'm starting as far back as we can go in the Old Testament and in India and China, while still having the history reliable. You know, if you get far enough back, it gradually descends into folklore, which is interesting, but it isn't necessarily history. And so I go as far back as we can, and be confident that it actually happened, and then this particular volume brings us up into the beginning of the Christian era and the Western Roman Empire, the death of the emperor, the first emperor Augustus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see in the book that you talk about the Trojan War, for example, and other ancient battles like that. You know, to my understanding, it was all just essentially folklore and maybe oral histories that could have been distorted. So, you know, I'm very interested to see what sort of records there are about that.
Well, the foundations of Troy have been excavated archaeologically. So we know that Troy existed, and we can verify that part of the wall that was ultimately breached after the Trojan horse allegedly entered was weaker than the other parts. So you can put together parts of it to establish there was a war, there was a siege, and the city did fall. The rest of it I put a bit sketchily and with cautions from place, you know, from here and there, that this should be read with caution, that we don't actually know, but something like this appears to have happened. So, and all the business about, Hector, and I just say that's what Homer wrote, but whether anything like it happened, we don't know that. But parts of it have been authenticated. So I don't go in great detail into it, but I certainly don't mislead the reader about how much we know and how much we don't know.
So then it's sort of like how you would tie what's in the Bible to what we know about ancient history as well, just the little asterisks maybe that, hey, we kind of know from this can be backed up by this and this happening, and this is the only record we have.
That's right, and you know what the apostles wrote centuries later. Some of it appears to be accurate, and some of it we don't know, and some of it is frankly fairly implausible. But I don't want to offend people's religious sensibilities, so I put it diplomatically. But the skeptical reader will not put the book down saying this man's a myth maker and he's just telling us a lot of folklore. I mean, what is reliable history is represented as such, and what is not is put in a different category.
Yeah, I wonder how many of these ancient cultures had their own version of the myth that Columbus proved the world was round when everyone kind of knew that already.
Yeah, well, I certainly don't. I certainly got that one straight. That's in the volume I'm close to finishing now, volume two. But, Columbus landed in the Bahamas, and he was well aware that the earth was not flat. He didn't have to undertake his voyage to enlighten himself on that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just like myths like that that pervade our culture. And I remember being taught in school that that's what the case was. So you get stuff like that, and you got to wonder then, you know, the stuff that you say is more implausible and like the that the apostles came up with, could it have just been that sort of situation, just a myth at the time that had later been debunked or something.
Yeah, well, look, the apostles were advocates, you know, they were propagandists, they were good writers, and they were imaginative writers, but in their enthusiasm for, you know, a humanist religion and the idea that the Son of God had actually materialized among us, they took certain liberties with the facts. But on the other hand, miracles do occur sometimes. So I'm very careful how I how I put things like that, especially when you get into areas that are apt to be very sensitive to people of strong religious views, by which I mean militant atheists as much as fervently faithful people. I just try and put forth what we have reasonable grounds to believe indisputably happened, and then where appropriate, I say, you know, it is alleged that, but this must be read with caution, something like that.
Well, fortunately, you don't have to put any such notifications in there for the Trojan War, because I'd imagine the chapter on Achilles might have been full of it.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, I do make the point that Homer was to some extent a historian, but he was really basically a novelist and a very good one and a great writer. Although I don't have sufficient knowledge of Greek to comment on that, but I'll take the word of other people who do for that. I mean, he was undoubtedly a memorable author, and people are still reading him now. 3,000 years later, but or almost that. But how much of it happened? You know, the part that happened, we can identify that. There was a war at a place called Troy, but and Helen did exist, but whether she left in the circumstances claimed and how forgiving her husband was, we don't really know that.
So how did you end up deciding to go about this project, and especially going back so far with it, with your current, with your understanding of current events and all? You know, it makes sense. Maybe the volume 3 that you're talking about doing, you would.
I'm just getting to it now. Yeah. I'll be relieved to get to areas. I'm in areas now that I know fairly well. Mm-hmm. I'm up to, you know, Shakespeare and Queen Elizabeth I and so on. But I'll tell you, I started out writing biographies of people, including 3 American presidents, Franklin Roosevelt, Richard Nixon, and Donald Trump, and some other people, a prominent leading figure in French-Canadian political history, for example. And then I graduated to countries. I have a strategic history of the United States. It's obviously a vast literature on the history of the U.S., and an additional book on that subject wasn't needed, but this was a one-volume summary of how it got from the American Revolution. It was 2.5 million people and 750,000 slaves on the Atlantic shore in 2 long lifetimes to be by far the greatest power in the world, with half the economic activity in the entire world at the end of World War II. And my late friend Henry Kissinger was kind enough to write a foreword for me. Then I wrote a full a history of Canada, which hadn't been done in a way that, frankly, you could read 5 pages of without falling asleep before. And then I thought, well, you know, I'm getting older, and why do I go on with this? Why don't I have a shot at getting all of it? Because people normally think you'd have to read for 20 years to see the history of the world, but you don't. You don't have to do that.
Right, well, we have 15 seconds left. We're going to get a copy of the book.
Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Lord Conrad back. Appreciate you being on the Silk Road Joe Show today. Listeners, you can find the book on Amazon. In fact, Kindle has a special offer right now.
It's become an annual headache for retailers. After the Christmas shopping frenzy, what to do with a post-holiday wave of customer returns? Last year, US retailers spent more than $7 billion processing returned items, but new research has found that providing more personalized shopping options could protect retailers against losing money in 2024 by reducing the volume of returns and essentially reducing waste. Here to tell us more about this is Megan Hostetler, Director of Product Marketing at SAP and Marsys Customer Engagement.
Our research found that over half, that's 54% of consumers, do their absolute best to avoid retailers that charge to return an item. We know this is an ever-occurring problem. And for me as a consumer, if we receive a more tailored and personalized customer experience, the volume of these returns will drop. This research by SAP Amarsys Customer Engagement will launch at NRF in 2024. To learn more, visit amarsys.com/NRF.
CES is always a proving ground for breakthrough technologies and global innovators, and I'm working with some great brands to share the latest and greatest. The S8 Max V Ultra from Roborock is redefining how we clean our homes. The deep cleaning capabilities and self-maintenance features make cleaning more convenient. Online protection experts McAfee have unveiled their new AI-powered deepfake audio detection technology. Known as Project Mockingbird, this technology will be a reliable resource for consumers amidst the rise of malicious AI-generated material online. Tonies are a great screen-free educational toy option for children. Pop any of the Tonies on top of the Tony box and they'll play a variety of stories, songs, and lessons that can develop children's emotional intelligence with age-appropriate tech. The X-Real Air 2 Pro AR glasses are a great option for gaming, working at a desk, or incorporating augmented reality apps into your day-to-day life. And because they look like normal sunglasses, they'll fit right into your pocket and blend seamlessly into your day. For more, check out stephaniehumphrey.com.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean, and there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year. That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
The March of Dimes and HCA Healthcare are committed to the best possible start for every baby. I'm Amy Casseri, Vice President of HCA Women and Children's Services, where we have the honor of delivering over 200,000 babies a year. We partner with the March of Dimes on research and fundraising to help build a brighter future for babies everywhere. So march with us on one of the many HCA teams assembled nationwide. Learn more at marchforbabies.org/HCA.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. So, Democrats in a nutshell, no charges for tearing down statues of our founding fathers or Christian protagonists, but throw the book at them if they vandalize a statue of the devil. So a state capitol, some satanic group got them to erect a statue of the devil because they love to take advantage of the religious tolerance things in order to stick it to the Christians, right? Well, someone vandalized it, cut its head off, and that person is facing charges. But let's see other instances where no one faced charges. Montgomery, Alabama, statue of Robert E. Lee tore down. He wasn't even one of the terrible Confederates. He was just a torn man between Virginia and the South, and he was not particularly sympathetic to slavery. But that got torn down. That's a felony, but there were no prosecutions, even though they knew who did it. Durham, North Carolina, Confederate memorial statue torn down to the people who were just dragged up from there, not even slave owners, just people dragged up into the Civil War because there's a war going on. I got to protect my family. Well, that one gets torn down, too. No one even, they knew who did it as well, but there were no charges. Then in Davis, California, someone who you can't really complain about, Mahatma Gandhi, statue got ripped down there. No one cared enough to investigate. San Francisco, California, Ulysses S. Grant statue got torn down. Liberal media outlets actually said it was justified, even though he's the guy who won the Civil War and thus played a key role in stopping slavery in this country. But nope, you can tear that down. Yet you deface a statue of the devil and the left considers you its enemy. Helping to end slavery, being an Indian peace leader, none of that is worthy of salvation. And your monument deserves to be destroyed, but the devil is the one liberals believe in. Don't you dare lay a hand on any image of him, otherwise they'll hit you with their blasphemy laws, apparently. I think we know whose side they're on now, when they turn our laws against tearing down statues effectively into anti-blaspheme laws for the devil. When Gandhi and Grant are evil and the devil is good, you kind of telegraphed your worldview there. And it's alarming that this is sort of thing is just out there in the open, but it does explain what we were discussing in the first segment. All this trans movement trying to overthrow the authority of the parents and stick it to Christians in the name of big government, atheism, and the state and all that. This just is a further symptom of this cultural sickness that we have that places evil above good, that makes it so that it's just that the people believe it's good when the state rashly acts and probably will cause the suicide of a teen just in the name of sticking it to a conservative religious family. In fact, we have that with the E. Jean Carroll case, where it's okay to do whatever it takes just to stick it to Trump. Now, I do have to issue a correction to a diatribe I had on the Alan Nathan Show on Tuesday when I guest hosted. E. Jean Carroll did help to write a law that would allow future prosecutions of unwanted sexual conduct of any kind. Indeed, it might even be used against Trump. Conduct like kissing on a cheek, for example, could be prosecuted as full-on rape. But she did not create a law about defamation, so I got that part wrong. Now then, we also have, though, with this case, though, the E. Jean Carroll case, quick background on that. For those of you who didn't listen to the Al Nathan Show earlier this week, basically in 2019, Trump said, I didn't touch this chick, didn't know her, she's crazy. The standard stuff you would say, innocent or guilty, if you were accused of something. Just everybody has said that at some point, or something similar, when accused falsely of something. Gee whiz, even I've said it, just being falsely accused of stuff that, my brother might say or something like that. Yet, Trump owes $83 million now for saying such things. So does this mean, like, Juanita Broderick can sue Hillary Clinton for $80 million for calling her part of a bimbo eruption? Can Tara Reid sue Joe Biden for $80 million? I mean, how would liberals react if Tara Reid or Juanita Broderick brought a case in deep red Texas and won decisively? The case is based on, now, like I said, this case is based on how Trump denied raping this chick. So logically, if that is tantamount to an $80 million lawsuit, surely any victim of a famous left winger, like a victim of Bill Clinton or a victim of Joe Biden, could bring such a similar suit and the left wouldn't complain about it, especially if a severely biased jury and judge ruled in their favor, right? So the example of the leftist justice here that happened in the case, you had this crazy left-wing judge there that, threw out some words. All right. So there was a case, I was misreading my notes here because I thought I was farther along than I was. There was a case where E. Jean Carroll accused Trump of rape, just outright accused him of doing it. And that was the case in 2019 that he says, no, this didn't happen. This chick is crazy. Left-wing judge actually threw it out. Then Carol sued Trump because he dared to deny her fake accusation. Yeah, I'll say it. She's a liar. The jury are a bunch of partisans. And the disgusting crime fest that is New York City is proof. The people of New York City that this jury came from literally do not care if armed criminals are released back to the street by their district attorney, so long as that district attorney tries to take down Trump. These DAs didn't campaign on making New York City safe. In fact, they campaigned partly on the opposite. But their biggest campaign draw was who would go for Trump's throat the hardest. Alvin Bragg even thinks it's okay for someone to put a gun in your face and steal your money. His voters didn't care when they made him district attorney. They think that getting Trump is a holy cause above all else. So now how is Trump supposed to get a fair trial with that kind of jury, right? They almost literally decided to sacrifice their lives if it meant getting Trump in any way, shape, or form. But then the trial was never going to be a fair one anyway, as I was stumbling over my words to get to a moment ago because I forgot which judge I was talking about. The judge in the defamation case allowed E. Jean Carroll to destroy subpoenaed evidence. The same judge that threatened to imprison Trump's lawyer for trying to defend her client allowed E. Jean Carroll to destroy subpoenaed evidence. The judge then told Trump what to say when he testified and told Trump's attorney what questions she was allowed to ask when Trump testified. The only difference between this and a stall in a show trial is that Trump wasn't executed afterwards, and we're told, oh, this was a fair trial. Well, for liberals, this is their version of justice, I guess. Murderers and rapists walk free. They release them all the time if they're illegal immigrants, especially caught committing crimes. Gee whiz, just earlier this week, illegal immigrants attacked police officers. They're released right immediately. That's not a crime if you're an illegal immigrant. But boy, if you're Trump and you say something wrong, you lose $83 million. And this is all in New York City. This is what the partisan jury and judges there believe. Conservatives get locked up on fake charges rammed through by these partisans. Oh, and the judge in the case, appointed by a Democrat president, was the mentor for E. Jean Carroll's lawyer and had some kind of professional or personal relationship with other members of her team as well. Their little clubhouse got together to convict Trump. Oh boy, I bet they enjoyed conspiring on this. Maybe Trump ought to look into that. Maybe there was conspiracy to commit a couple of felonies here by the legal team and the judge because, well, they all seem to have worked together and they all certainly knew each other. It's insane here. This sort of thing wouldn't have been tolerated. But then again, the Department of Justice is ran by liberals, and rigging trials and conspiring to do this sort of thing is literally all they do. It can't trust a single verdict out of them now. But opposition to this brand of injustice is just incomprehensible to a liberal. See, they don't see liberals as biased and judges as cheating. They just see an enemy being punished, which is how they define justice. Look at the disparate treatment in protests, pro-abortion, pro-life. You have pro-life people that were just sentenced to 11 years in prison for standing outside an abortion clinic and praying. They didn't interfere. There's video of the situation where you see people coming and going freely. No one was stopped from doing it. It was just sort of a peer pressure situation by protesting. That's all they were doing. But the government decided, no, they were obstructing access to abortion, and that's a sin in this country, as much a sin as the defacing a statue of the devil, so they get 11 years in prison for it. Meanwhile, a pro-abortion activist firebomb pro-life clinics, attack pro-life people, protest outside pro-life areas. No, that ain't a crime, no problem. They even issue death threats. They stand outside of pro-life Supreme Court justices, you remember that, protesting outside their house, issuing threats to them. That ain't a crime, that's nothing. But if you dare even protest anywhere near an abortion clinic, oh boy, you're interrupting a sacred right of this devil-ran Democrat Party, and they're going to come at you hard. Then again, being a Christian is punished in this country. You have the FBI that were persecuting Catholics. They said, oh, it's just this rogue branch in Richmond. It turns out, no, it's the entire country's FBI that was working on this end. And then on top of that, now the FBI says, oh, you should be on a watch list if you buy a copy of the Bible. Not if you erect a satanic statue. If you buy a copy of the Bible, that makes you a bad person. That makes you evil. Not supporting some entity whose very definition is evil in society. In fact, the FBI often ended up having to interrupt these satanic gangs. No, that's not a red flag at all. But being a Christian, oh boy, that's a red flag, especially with this government. Because they do not like you. This government has been taken over by the bad guys. Their version of justice is allowing their people to do anything and everything and allowing you to do nothing. Like I said, you have prominent Democrat politicians that are verbally attacking people that accuse them of rape. Nothing happens to them. They don't lose $83 million in defamation suits. You have left-wing activists tearing down statues, but conservatives can't even deface a statue. You have left-wing activists torching a city. Conservatives can't even protest peacefully outside an abortion clinic. That's how backed up, warped this stuff is. You can burn down a city in the name of Black Lives Matter. You can actually cross over several states to burn down a city. The FBI won't give a crap about you. The FBI actually said they don't investigate that kind of thing when Christopher Wray admitted they don't go after Antifa at all. But boy, if you stand outside an abortion clinic, that'll get their attention. All right, folks, we got more Silk or Joe Show coming up after this break, so stick with us.
Kickstart the new year with Mario and friends on their latest adventure. Experience the next evolution of Mario fun with the Super Mario Bros. Wonder Game. Classic Mario side-scrolling gameplay is turned on its head with spectacular moments you have to see to believe, including unexpected events called Wonder Effects and the largest cast of characters in a side-scrolling Mario game, including Luigi, Peach, Daisy, Toad, and Yoshi. You can even buddy up on one system or play online with the Nintendo games rated E to E10+. Of a system that best fits their needs and playstyles. And if you're in the mood to play some of your all-time faves, the Nintendo Switch family of systems is home to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Animal Crossing New Horizons, The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Splatoon 3, Pikmin 4, and more. For more, go to Nintendo.com. Additional game systems and or accessories may be required for multiplayer mode. Nintendo Switch online membership and Nintendo account required for online features. Membership auto-renews after initial term at the then current price unless canceled. Not available in all countries. Internet access required for online features. Terms apply. Nintendo.com/Switch-Online. Game systems, some accessories, and Nintendo Switch online membership sold separately. Games rated E to E10+.
So when we're setting up stuff for the new year, we've come in with a lot of energy. It's good to level set, take a step back, relax just a little bit, think about the small things that we can do, that we can fit into our life right now and do them very, very well. That's the key, sustainability. So I would start with using a tracking app. That way you know what you're bringing in and what you're bringing out. MyFitnessPal is a great option for that. It's going to help build sustainable habits over time. And to help with that, the nutritionists over at MyFitnessPal, along with Kate Hudson, have developed the Small Steps, Big Wins plan. This is a 7-day challenge that gives you the little steps that you need to build that foundation so you can meet your goals. You can go straight to the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store, download MyFitnessPal, and get started.
Hi, I'm Catherine Judah Chilo. I have three wonderful children with my husband, Sean, who I met on the 17th season of The Bachelor. At just 5 months old, our son, Isaiah, became sick and spent 4 days in the hospital. At first, my husband and I thought he had a common cold, but it turned out to be much more serious. It was respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV. RSV is the number one reason why babies are hospitalized. I'm sharing my story so other parents can learn about the importance of helping protect their babies from RSV when they are most vulnerable to it. If you are pregnant or plan on becoming pregnant, speak to your OBGYN or healthcare provider about the risks of RSV. As a mother, I've seen a lot of warning labels, from choking hazards to baby toys, and I wish RSV came with one. To learn more, visit www.bewareofrsv.com. That's www.bewareofrsv.com. This message is brought to you by Pfizer.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy, and I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show.
If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour of the program. And, well, we are waiting for a guest right now, so now I'll just scroll back up through my notes here to this topic that I found quite amusing. So students at the Berkeley University, or is that University of California, Berkeley? I guess that's what it is. I don't know. I don't live in California, and I don't keep up with them liberal institutions. But they had segregated housing. They have segregated housing. Now, this is voluntary, mind you. People voluntarily segregate themselves by races because they're told by liberals that this is the good thing to do, which I find hilarious because it's the same, you know, left wing that it's the same Democrat Party that was for segregation 100 years ago. They're for it again, but this time they say it's for to help. They said 100 years ago it was to help people of color, but this time they're saying that it's because whites are evil. That's the only difference between their words from now and 100 years ago. But you know, our guest is here, so I'll just quickly wrap this up. At the segregated housing at UC Berkeley, everyone there, it's not segregated exactly by race. It's just a no whites area. No whites are allowed. So everyone in that housing unit, they're accusing each other of white supremacy, all these different races. And I just find that hilarious that in the absence of whites, intersectionality, this philosophy that all these groups should be united, falls apart and they start accusing each other of being white supremacists. It tickles my funny bone, but I would have gone more into it, but we have a guest here on totally different topics. Michael Letts, CEO and founder of InvestUSA, a national grassroots nonprofit for providing police with bulletproof vests. Michael Letts has over 30 years of experience in law enforcement. Michael Letts, happy to have you on the show. How are you today?
Oh, I'm great. You're always a privilege. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I was interested in what you were saying there. It all kind of ties in. We've got a crazy administration and a crazy, crazy leftist agenda that just makes absolutely no common sense.
It seems that they just tell each other, in order to keep the same people oppressed that they did 100 years ago, they just tell them, hey, this time, if you're a woman or a different color or whatever, you should be united in hatred of white people. And why would that be? Because, like, white people did all this stuff to oppress your ancestors, but the implication is white people had to be smarter than them in order to do this oppression. And it tells these people they are helpless because of white people. And it teaches this sort of learned helplessness. And so that in turn achieves the same effect as you would have had 100 years ago with the segregation back then, but it just makes it seem more benevolent this time around.
Yeah, and then of course this time now they're ditching those that they said were oppressed, talking about the black community, and saying it's the illegal immigrants now that are oppressed. And they get all the benefits, and they're just leaving out the black population out in the cold now.
Yeah, well, they're taking them for granted because, well, like Joe Biden said in 2020, you ain't black if you don't vote Democrat. They take it for granted that it's ingrained into their identity as a race. They have to be Democrat. They can't change political party any more than they can change skin color. At least that seems to be the theory.
You're exactly right, because what I'm laughing at is on the illegal immigrant situation. You know, it's just, we'll just take all the benefits we were giving to the black community and just give it to the illegals. We'll kick the shut down schools to put illegals in there rent free. We'll take up hotels and put them in there if we have to. We'll take benefits, medical, dental, whatever needs to be done, and give it to them as a priority. If there's anything left over, the black community can still have it.
Yeah,
what a hypocrisy.
And Chicago, that's actually managed to turn much of the, well, not much, some of the black community anyway, openly against the Democrat Party there, out there saying that this is wrong, these aren't even citizens, and you owe us a bunch of stuff. And to top it all off, Obama in his book Audacity of Hope said this exact sort of thing would happen to the black community if all this unchecked immigration was allowed. It's like he had a blueprint for it.
They're running his blueprint pretty well, aren't they?
Yeah.
And that's what they're determined to do. And of course, you know, it's just, we see this as a top news situation every day, what they're doing in Texas now. It's amazing to me that they can violate the Constitution. It seems like this administration is now taking a direct mandate to destroy the Constitution and to violate it. And we as Americans can no longer stand by Joseph and allow that to happen. Our future is at stake.
Yeah, how can we exist as a country if our laws mean nothing? And if the states aren't allowed to have a border, and also if we just believe the total gaslighting from the Biden administration, oh, the border is secure, that's why we need to cut down the razor wire fences? What? How does that make any sense?
it doesn't make any sense at all, when the fact that we know that we are picking up, in fact, just in the last couple of days, we picked up another 10, I think it was, a 50 terrorists coming across from Iran and Qatar across the southern border. I mean, these are not people that we suspect maybe have a terrorist list. We know that they're terrorists. There are about terrorists with Hezbollah from Iranian descent. We've also been picking up a lot of Venezuelans who are actually members of the Venezuelan government and army. Now, why would they be sending their troops to the southern border to come across illegal? They have identification cards that show that they're Venezuelan military personnel. Same as the Chinese coming across now. So we are under an invasion. There's no question about it, Joseph. We're just not smart enough to figure it out just yet. I was hoping we'd get smart real quick before we get overrun and get to the point of no return.
Well, I don't know if it's so much that the public has to get smarter, but the government probably knows exactly what's happening and is perfectly okay with it. Surely they see the reports about the types of people coming in, these folks that are members of foreign militaries that they're just allowing in.
Well, I think, quite frankly, Joseph, they're actually part of the plot. They're actually behind it. They're enabling it. They're having it to happen. That is true of the highest form of nature to this country. That's why it is time that we demand a military council and a military tribunal immediately, and that the evidence be presented and be reviewed and acted upon accordingly. I'm confident, Joseph, when the evidence presented to a jury of junior grade officers, there'll be no question. The matter is treason, and they will immediately take action to remove from office. Not just remove from office, they need to be held accountable. There are penalties for treason. You know, it's not just a matter of, oh, I guess I'll go home and won't do it anymore. There are penalties for that kind of action, and they need to be implemented.
I'm glad you mentioned junior officers, because the way the military is now with the senior ranks and all that, you know, I wouldn't really trust them either. They're the ones who support these sorts of policies in the government and really don't seem to say anything about it or care. Or if they do, they're immediately kicked out.
You're exactly right. There are senior officers that are opposing it, but it is quickly divided between what we call the TV generals and those who have combat experience. And those who have a troop and combat experience know the price of freedom, and they don't want to see it thrown away so easily.
Mm-hmm. By allowing a de facto invasion and overthrowing of the country just simply by not enforcing our borders. But Michael Letts, CEO and founder of Invest USA, appreciate you being on the Silk Road Joe Show to talk about all this. And listeners, we are done with you for the day. This show is over. This hour is over. Been fun having you all. But our website, mainstreetmedianetwork.com, social media page, Getter, GETTR.com, at Silk Road Joe Show. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.